Hey, welcome to Doorway of the Supernatural, and I'm Pastor Peter Dosak, and this is...
Tim.
Tim Lemaster. He is our teen pastor here at the church, and I would encourage you, if you have teens and need to be spoken to and all that kind of stuff, we send them to him, so you might be good to have him in your church or in your area. He'll be a blessing to you.
Absolutely.
But today, we're going to be talking about discerning of spirits. We're going to go right back into it. And sometimes people don't realize. They would say, well, you know, there is the human spirit. Certainly there is. But then there is the gifting or the calling that has to do with something that has to do with the nature of their spirit and their spiritual purpose. Then there is, spirits that we would talk about of evil spirits, and then we would also talk about the Spirit of God. But there has to be some type of way to sift these, to know these, because each respondent that we have, Tim, towards a person that has that we're dealing with or coming in contact with, has to have a certain way of dealing with it, or we would just lump them all together. And God doesn't do that. The Bible says that even the Word of God divides asunder of soul and spirit. So there is a discerning that the Word can do in its nature, but there is this supernatural divine enablement that allows us to discern. The word discern means to be aware of. We may not see an angel, but we would be aware of his presence. We may not see God's presence, but all of a sudden we are aware of it. Like Job said, there was a spirit that passed in front of me and the hair stood up on my arm. So how did he know that? Well, he knew that by the discerning of spirits. God is here, but we don't feel him right now. We are aware because we have a consciousness about him. We are aware because we have scriptural knowledge that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But if we would start doing something or worshiping God or something of that nature, what we would do is we'd automatically become aware of his presence. We would start experiencing certain notable side effects, as you were, of God's spirit. Or there would be evidence that he was there. And it might be hair standing up. You might just be, man, don't you feel that? So are your senses new? No, they aren't new. It's that God is allowing you to discern, to experience the reality of that presence. And with the discerning of spirits, we do see spirits, and we become aware of them. So we're going to talk about those discerning of spirits. But right now, we're going to go into a miracle that is just going to show that God knows things and that God's miracle power is still real and that God wants to use you today. So let's join the congregation in a miracle service we're in.
Now, where's your tumor?
Brain.
Where?
Brain.
In your brain. Inoperable?
They don't really know for sure yet, so...
Okay. They brought a little girl, 16, 17 years old, who is in Brownsville, Texas.
Brownsville, Texas.
And her mom and dad brought her up. They said they sent her home to die. They can't operate. She's real active and very
sports.
Athletic, sports, and they sent it. Said she, they sent her home to die. I prayed for her. About 3 days later, we got a notice. They sent back, her tumor is gone.
Yes.
And she's fine.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you. Listen, Eric will tell you, we've seen tumors this big that paralyze people sitting in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And God dry them up.
That's right.
Listen, that's nothing to God. I'm telling you, it's nothing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, do you have any headaches with that, Lori?
Yes.
Okay, do you have one now? Okay, so if this headache would leave, we could at least begin to thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would have a sign
that
it was gone, okay? Or that it's subsiding, shrinking, whatever you want to call it. And So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command this tumor in Lori's brain, I command you in the name of Jesus to die, to come out of her right now. Let her go in Jesus' name. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I thank you for the power of that name. For the power of that name. Okay, Lori, tell me about your headache.
It's gone.
It's gone. Okay, Lori, now you go back and you let them do whatever they're going to do. And then when you get the good report, don't be like these people that have a baby 15 years ago, never tell nobody. You come back and you tell us. Okay? Now, are you a Christian, Lori?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good deal. All right, be faithful. Go to church every Sunday and hallelujah.
Thank you. Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. There you go. Hallelujah.
Well, God still does miracles, and those are small things that God will use to build people's faith so that he can do greater things. But we're talking here today about the discerning of spirits. And if we don't understand the makeup of man, he is soul, he is emotional, and he has a spirit, and he lives in a physical body. And that body exists because of the reservoirs of the power that comes from his human spirit. The Bible says that as faith without works is dead, it's just like as if when the spirit leaves a man. When the spirit leaves a man, the physical body falls. It collapses. It goes into immediate decay. We find that in Lazarus the fourth. John, the 11th chapter, where Lazarus was born dead for 4 days and said, well, yeah, but he is decaying, he stinketh, he's rotting. In other words, without the human spirit in a man's body, there is no way for the human body to exist. It does not exist. And so we are talking about discerning of spirits today so that we will be able, Tim, to respond to people, to be used by God in a unique way, and for God to help us understand who we're in relationship with. And so let's turn to Isaiah 61, Tim, 1 through 3. We're going to start talking about the different types of spirit that we have, so that we encounter. Let's use that word, that we encounter, because many of us do not have these spirits, but we encounter people that have them. And so, Tim, why don't you read from Isaiah 61, 1 through 3.
Absolutely. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified."
Here, Jesus tells us that, without a shadow of doubt, that there is a spirit, Tim, that accommodates or accompanies those that are separated from God. He comes to renew this, or to bring it back to life. And he says that it is, he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, that would tell me if there's a spirit of heaviness that it could be on certain people. And this type of spirit that rests upon people is a spirit that steals their joy. Jesus said, "I want to turn your mourning into joy." And a lot of Christians are just void of joy. And because they never say, okay, look, let me judge what's going on here. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be thankful. I'm supposed to be grateful in all things. I should be continually praising God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The people after God's own heart do that. why am I depressed? Why am I not feeling this overwhelming joy that cannot keep me from declaring the goodness of God? The reason is, first of all, we don't experience the goodness of God. Everybody sees the glass half empty instead of, well, it's half full. Hallelujah. God's only got halfway to go. And but Jesus said that it's because of a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of heaviness, or what we would say a spirit of oppression. It's pushing us down. It has weight to it.
Absolutely.
And it, because it is an actual presence. And so if people look and say, why am I not happy? Why, you know, I've got everything, yet I'm just empty and void of praise. Well, that is a depressing spirit, an oppressing spirit, a heavy spirit. It can lead into depression that keeps us from seeing goodness, potential, possibilities, and things of that nature. So this spirit has its place in many people today. And I think that many times when we look at our youth today, this is a spirit that accompanies them.
Absolutely.
This is the teenage years are years of great celebration, of joy, of transformation. And yet we find that one of the number one categories of people, if we could classify or categorize them, to take their life, that are depressed, that are seeking a way out, that are looking to find something, are found in people in adolescence, in their teen years.
Yep.
And I think that one of the things is that we as Christians don't recognize that in our children. And when we see our children not being celebrated, not being happy, not being able to enjoy life, when I look back at my teen years, I never remember them as being happy. I never remember them as being celebrative. I always remember being a depressant. I always remember I was never happy. I didn't know what happiness or joy was. So later in years, when that manifests itself in my family after I was married, I may go 2 or 3 weeks and never talk to my family. Then that a depressant thing would manifest, come to a top of a mountain, a blowing point, and I would blow up. I'd become very violent. I would beat my beat my wife, and didn't beat my daughter, but once or twice in her life. And I would just, then after that, I would crash. Then I'd be loving for a couple of days, and pretty soon the whole cycle would go back into motion. Now, we would say, well, you know, you need to get medication. I think medication is helpful if you need it. But I don't think that everything is the answer is in a pill bottle.
Yep.
And so what do we do with this type? Well, Jesus tells us something that he gives us to ward it off or to resist it. He gives us a beauty, an identification, and he gives us oil of joy for the morning. In other words, we need to get in our hearts and our minds that we are new creatures.
Yes.
We need to recognize the presence of the Lord upon us and allow those things, that time of presence, to be upon us, because as it is, God does things on the inside of us. And when God's presence is on us, it transitions us, Tim. There is this work that God does when his spirit is upon man. And it's for mourning, so we have to protect ourselves from bad thoughts, reminiscing about bad things, expecting bad things. Got to protect that. And then he gives us a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a season you're going through. This is a spirit. It is a personality that's trying to stop you from living your fullness in Christ. And so then we have to start forcing ourselves, surround ourselves by praise, and start making it come out of our mouth. Yeah. It is a sacrifice. In other words, sometimes you got to do something that costs you everything in your emotional realm. In other words, I've just got to do this no matter if I feel like it or not.
Yeah.
I just, you know, bless God, it's just what I got to do. And that will help break that spirit. But when you see this on somebody, especially children or even your spouses or anything like that, notice where they've been, who they've been around with, because there are spirits, Tim, that are influential upon people's lives.
Absolutely.
And spirits, please listen to me, parents, adult, listen to me. Spirits are contagious. Spirits are contagious. Matthew, the 12th chapter, if you look at verse 46 or so, it talks about that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit goes out into dry places. And let me say this, evil spirits and all the spirits that we're going to be talking about, devils and everything else, are not cast into hell. The devil himself is not even in hell. People say, well, you know, when all hell comes loose to you, you have never seen hell loosed against you. You have seen the devil loosed against you. And hell is a place that the devil and his angels will be incarcerated. Then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. But listen, the greater imprisons the lesser. You have never seen all H-E-L-L loosed against you. But you have seen the work of the devil loosed against you. So when people say, I send you back to hell where you came from, those things have never been to hell. You know, sometimes we try to be wise and we become just as stupid as an acorn. And, you know, Jesus sent them out and he said they went to dry places. Listen, Jesus didn't send any devils back to hell. He sent them into pigs, but he never sent them to hell. And pork is not hell. And so we got to realize that when people make such statements, they're just infusing ignorance, error, and confusion to us. It just stop it. Just cast the devil out. Who cares where he goes? And you, all you have authority to do is to cast him out. You can bind him and cast him out, but you cannot control his destiny. His destiny is controlled to the end of the point of time where the devils themselves said, have you come to torment us before our time? You can't adjust nor manipulate the time of a devil. And so just, you can't do it. Hallelujah. All right, enough. My pet peeves are coming out early today. So I want you to realize that these spirits can be broken and they can be taken off of people's lives. But if you recognize them on people's lives, see who they're around. Matthew 12 said he goes out. And when he doesn't find another place, Tim, he comes back and he finds the house garnished. In other words, decorated for his entry. In other words, if you don't remodel your life after you get delivered or after you get born again, guess what? Those same spirits are going to come back and you're going to have to deal with them. So it's contagious, Tim.
Yep.
And God told Moses, he says, look, when you come up, I will take the spirit that is upon you and will put upon them. And so whenever we are around these spirits, they begin to make things out of us. If we are around the people that have the Spirit of God, guess what? We begin to be transitioned into the spirit that is upon them. You know, Elijah's spirit came up on Elisha.
Yep.
And everybody recognized that is the spirit of Elisha. In other words, we say this, you know what? You're just like your father. In other words, the things that he dealt with, you deal with.
Yep.
So when you see these things, start looking around who they're hanging around. And when you see changes taking place in your kids' life, attitude changes, all types of stuff, then you know what? You want to deal with it right there.
Yep.
You don't want to have to dig some spirit that's been in there for 30 years or, well, when they get married, they'll have to deal with it. They'll have to make their own choices. No, you have been given authority as a parent to keep that child, to watch over that child. When God, before the foundations of the earth, gave you enough faith to protect your offspring and to raise them up. And if you're a Christian, you have enough faith on the inside of you to care for them, to nurture them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, keep them from evil spirits so that you send them off with a clean heart, a pure heart, cleansed of iniquity, and with a right spirit. But if you have a spirit in your house and you have a spirit of heaviness, you know what, Tim? It's called a familiar spirit. Yeah. It's a familiar spirit is this. The Bible says that we want to watch for those that have familiar spirits. That word familiar means we have to watch for a spirit that is like a father. In other words, it is a spirit that produces likeness in other people. And when a spirit comes into a house, we would say, well, that's a familiar spirit. Most spirits, most sicknesses, diseases, most attitudes, most depressions, most, meanness, disregard, disrespect, comes from spirits of familiarity. In other words, we see, Paul spoke of three ways how people learn from the spiritual realm. He said, that which you have seen in me, heard in me, and learned in me, you do. Guess what? When we see spiritual uncleanness in people's lives or spirits that are not of God at work, what those spirits are doing are they are creating an acceptance, an area of acceptance. That's normal. It's not normal to be mean. It's not normal to be depressed. It's not normal to be crazy. It's not normal to be angry. It's not normal to be divisive. It's not normal to be inactive. It's not normal to shun your children, shun your wife, or your husband, or anything else. That's abnormal.
Amen.
There, we might get some emails from that. But You know what? When these spirits are in activity and we don't curb them. Look, if you have to rebuke your spouse, then you set your spouse down in a private place and you say, I want you to quit coming home with an attitude because these kids think that's right. That is wrong, and that is not Christ. Yep. You say it to your wife. I want you to quit bickering with me. I want you to quit pestering me because I don't want my children to think that is normal. I want you to quit spouting off to me, making snide remarks. I want you to quit putting me down in front of my children. They're going to think that's normal. I want you to quit saying this or that. That's abnormal. I want you to quit spouting off to little Johnny. Well, you never have no sense. You're like, you get that from your mother's side. Little Johnny, you're never going to amount to anything. You'll be like your grandfather. Mm-hmm. You stop that stuff.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is building this place of incubation, of reproduction, of that which is being fathered. It's beginning somewhere, and you can cut it off. You can cut it off somewhere. If it begins, you can cut it off.
Yeah.
And so these things that come out, Tim, we deal with them in children and adolescents and teens and young people and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, most of their problems, most of these insecurities, most of these depressant spirits and all that come from and start within the house because the watchman has fell asleep. We need to have a discerning of spirit. The reason we just don't, we want everything, well, just sweep everything under a rug. You can't sweep a spirit of anger under a rug. You need to rebuke it. And that person needs to deal with it.
Yep.
Amen. You just cannot sweep everything under the rug. One day it's going to be a mountain. You're going to trip over it. It's going to be so high, you're going to break your neck when you hit the floor. Stop. Deal with stuff right now. And if you got stuff in your life, you deal with it in your life. But look at your house. Look at your children. Examine. He that is spiritual judges all things. And he that doesn't judge anything has really lost his spiritual edge. Now, so we're talking about discerning of spirits. Hallelujah.
Well,
I
Pastor,
hope you're still with me.
With that, too, I wanted to bring up, I think one of the most difficult things is even in the church, we deal with people who act weird when we want to set that new standard. For example, when I went to get married, we had people in our church who I know have great marriages and stuff, but they would make comments to us leading up to our wedding. Hey, it's only great for the first 3 months, and then it's terrible after that. And we were just like, why would you tell newlyweds that are are just getting married? Why would you say that? But, I see that
you were supposed to videotape the first 3 months and replay it.
But, you know, it's not even just in marriage. It's in other things with your kids. You know, we'll hear, you know, being in the youth ministry, I'll hear parents come back and, well, he just never had much sense.
Yeah.
You know, and they speak these things, and it really does get in our kids, and we think we're just joking.
Right.
We think it's just jest. But it's really not. It's powerful. There's power in our words. And just one other thing, too, when you were talking about the parents and the students, I Proverbs 27:19 came to my mind. It talks about as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And that comes into discernment, that you can just look at your kids, and through discernment, it's easy to see those changes taking place.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's working with you to keep your kids on the path of righteousness and to keep them built up in faith.
And when you said that, it reflects the Spirit. Absolutely right, Tim. You can see people. You can see their nature. What is on their face comes out in their activities.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we are looking, that we just are not. I know ostriches don't stick their head in the sand, but sometimes Christians do. They just and think that everything, when the wind storms over, you're going to be okay. No, you ain't going to have a tail feather left, sweetheart. Listen, you got to deal with things. And then it says in Proverbs, Tim, if you can read from Proverbs 11:13, when there's so many spirits in the Bible, man, you think, man, oh, man, so many compared to just one Spirit of God. Yeah, but that's enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Proverbs 11:13, Tim.
It says, a tale beareth, revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter.
So there is a spirit of faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of all these spirits we're going to talk about, I'm going to show you how to change your spirit. You can change your spirit. If you are constantly dealing with that spirit of heaviness that we just talked about, we told you some things that you can do. The other is in this, a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. That may be why there is so much, he that repeateth a matter sows discord among the brethren and all that. Those are all off-breaks of unfaithful spirits. That's what we have in the church today. People are unfaithful to everything. Hey, I haven't seen you in church. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'd start going to another church. Really? Well, you were there for 3 weeks. Yeah, I know. But you know, that's as long as I've been in any church. It's yours. Yeah. What is that? That is a spirit of unfaithfulness. And you may think, oh, it just shows up in church. Well, oh, no, friend. Listen, unfaithfulness covers the human life. Why? It's their spirit. It's the nature, and it's going to produce fruit. And in fact, it is one of the things that Jesus said, who can find a faithful man? In other words, an unfaithful spirit is a mark in a generation. It's a mark in a generation. We have people that are unfaithful to their marriage vows.
Yeah.
You know, I'll love you and with all my heart until you do something I don't like, and then we're going to have problems. You know, we have all these things. We're given children to care and to love, and then we forsake them. We go to hobbies, and nothing wrong with those, but everything has its rightful place, Tim.
Yep.
And so we have got to put in people a faithful spirit. How do you do that? Well, you train faithful people. Mm-hmm. That's how people become faithful. You train them. You stop allowing procrastination to rule their life. Hey, Johnny, pick up that sock. I'll get it later. No, stop. Stop later. You know what? You pick that up right now.
Yeah.
If they say they're going to do something, they don't do it, then you just say, you know what? You said you were going to do it. You didn't do it. You know what? You got to realize there are repercussions for what you're doing. But we as parents sometimes just override that. We overflood them because I don't know if we're trying to make up for some deficit that we think that we had in our childhood, or, well, you know, I want things to be better for my kid. Well, then they're not going to be like you. And if you're living for God, you turned out pretty good. You know, don't take all the hardships off the kids.
Yeah.
Listen, they got to know that there are hard things in life and there are easy things in life. There is a work ethic in life, and there are, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, you have to build those things in them. If they say they're going to do it, you make them do it. At a certain time, you know what? Nikki Phyllis used to say, Nick, you can't go out of this house till you do those dishes. So Phyllis would always say, make her do them, make her do them. I said, no, not going to make her do them. We already said she ain't leaving this house till they're done. But Phyllis says, I want them done. I said, then you should have said, I want these dishes done now. Mm-hmm. But you can't set a futuristic goal and then demand that they run for it. If you wanted her to do dishes, tell her, after you get done eating, I want those dishes done. Now, I will say, get those dishes done now.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to see nightfall. So Phyllis would just, she complains, you complain. I said, no, not going to do it. You already said what you were going. You told her, you set the boundaries.
Yep.
Well, so if Nikki would, I'm getting ready to go out. I'd say, sorry, you ain't going nowhere. You get those dishes. I'm late. I said, you're going to be later. Unless you move like Superwoman, them dishes are not going anyplace by themselves. And I sure am not going to do them. But since Nikki moved out of the house, now I do the dishes. That's why you have more than one kid. You have a bunch of kids. So that even when you get in your latter years, when you're like 90, you still got kids in the house to do the work. Anyway, I think that was Abraham's plan all in the beginning. But she would do the dishes. But you had to create in her, you're going to be faithful.
Yep.
But if you put it off or move the timelines, you can't. But you have to build a faithful spirit. If your kids say something, then you know what? You make them own up to it. If they say something, I'll see you Saturday morning. Then they hear you in the house saying, I really don't want to go there. Give me an idea how I can. See, that's an unfaithful spirit.
Yeah.
And you're teaching your kids that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Even though a man is supposed to swear by his own hurt. In other words, a faithful spirit, Tim, is worth any hurt that you go through. Mm-hmm. And you have to protect your faithfulness. Yeah. Because if you aren't faithful in the little things, you'll never be given authority or places in other things. First of all, it's required a man, a good steward, that he be found faithful. Look at their life and things of that nature. So we want to make sure that, we have to have a faithful spirit just to be faithful in marriage, in life, in anything like that. We have to have that. Absolutely. So, all righty. Let's answer this question. It says, if your child isn't saved and goes from your house, which is a house of light, to his dad's house, which is not because his dad is not saved, other than praying and believing that God is keeping any other spirits attaching themselves to your child, is there anything else that as parents can do? One thing you can do is certainly pray. And I would pray. I wouldn't just pray in silent. I would pray with him every night. I would just go right in. My mother and father-in-law, bless their hearts, and I'll tell you, they were Pentecostal people. Later, my sister-in-law, which lived clear across the railroad tracks, maybe the length of a football field, from her mom, from her future mother and father-in-law, which she didn't know, but they were Nazarenes, and my mother and father-in-law were Pentecostals, and they remarked that they said, every night about 11:30, you hear those people over there. Now, everything else is silent. The town is shut down, and you can hear them people clear over in that little trailer. They're praying to God. And so they said every night, guess what? When I come into the family, every night came. And they didn't ask you to leave the room. They didn't say go smoke a cigarette. They said, come on, Pete. They grabbed me by the hand, pulled me down. I'm thinking, what am I doing down here? And, buddy, they start crying, and I'm telling you, it's like, Jesus. Boy, as soon as they said Jesus, man, watch out. Tears came. My God, God, save our family. Save the world. Jiminy, I'm thinking, good night. But those people were faithful, and they made those people pray. So the other thing that you want to make sure that you lay hands, pray with your kids every night.
Yeah.
and start praying vision. God, I pray that you protect them. God, I pray that, Father, they'll find you as their personal Savior. And then what you do is you can set up praise music in their house. And always keep music playing in your house. I have it playing around the church. I have it playing outside of the church. People come and say, why you got that music around? I said, devils don't come where people are worshiping God. Like, hello. And God inhabits the praise of his people. Yep. I want it to be everywhere. Hallelujah. Yep. And so, but these are things that you can do. You lay hands on them, not just praying for them, but put your hands right on them. And you pray with them. And when you pray at supper, you bless the food and you say, God, I want you to bless my children. You mention them just by name. I'm telling you, put them before the Lord. They'll remember those times and God will do something. And so then you do that and you put worship on in your household, and you still, since they live in your house, you draw the boundaries of what they watch and what they listen to. Yep. And if they bring in spirits that are, or their friends come in with spirits and stuff like that, let me tell you something. You just shut it off. Say, you know what? Listen, Johnny, I don't want you to run around with that little roughneck. That Pete Dosak, you stay away from him. There's something on that kid. And, you know, and so you do that. Look, Phyllis and I will express our say, hey, you know what? We don't like that spirit that's on that kid that runs around with so-and-so in our grandkids. We don't like it. We don't like it. We tell them. And we tell them, you know what? You watch out what's going on. You make sure. And we're constantly reminding our grandkids that, you know what? The devil is out there, and he's out there to destroy you. So you can do those things and know this. Even though you don't think that things are changing, let me tell you something. They are changing. You know, I am a byproduct of two praying grandmothers. I believe that. My mother wasn't saved when I got saved. And in fact, you know, she just wasn't. And but my grandmothers both were. My one grandmother was married like five times. Wow. But all of her husbands died. She never divorced. And the last guy came up to me on the golf course, and he said, hey, Pastor Dosak, how you doing? He said, you know, I was married to your grandmother. I did not know him at that time. I mean, I didn't know that they had even got married. He said, but, you know, we got married. He said, and I was her last husband. She was a great Christian woman, man. She was a praying woman. And, you know, and I thought, really? And then I knew my other grandmother was a praying grandmother. But I am in the ministry, I believe, because of God's indebtedness, not just God's purpose, but God's indebtedness to two grandparents. Yeah. And I believe that they prayed me into the kingdom of God. Yeah. And even though Shirley and Janice Osborne, Shirley Osborne and Janice Dearman take credit for praying me into this area, I think it might have been the Holy Ghost was at work too, but they take credit. So, but I give them credit too. Yeah. So I think that you can do those things and you can break that spirit because they are trying to invade our homes and our families. So we want to do those things. So now Thursday, we're going to be talking about some different types of spirits. And these are all questions like the question we just got. These are questions we all face. We live in a world that is literally disintegrating in front of our eyes. The family, the values, the morals, you know, all of this is just seemingly becoming so normal, yet it's so abnormal, and that it's the work of the devil. It is divisiveness. It's self-willedness. It's a lover of themselves instead of the lovers of God. They're putting their self in front of others. And so we just have to understand that this is the time that we've been born to and born in, but you are God's very best. And I'm telling you, you are more than equipped to see this world receive Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Great Amen. Revival is coming, and your children are going to be swept into that revival. And they're going to be swept into the kingdom of God. So don't despair, no matter how bad your children are, no matter how far down they are. I just had a brother that, you know, he has been on drugs for years, been tried to get freed for years. He's just physically, he's, you know, has a lot of health issues. He's had bypass surgery. So many of my younger brothers have. He doesn't have any teeth, but he's been addicted to drugs all those times. But he gave his life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, I look to see him in church. But I believe that God will reach down and pull your kids out of the darkest holes that the devil would take them to. I'm telling you, God is a faithful God. Never, ever doubt that God would do what God said he would do. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these homes. God, I pray that you would just loose the gift of discerning of spirits into their life. We loose the discerning of spirits, God, that they would discern the spirit of God. They would discern the spirit of man. They would discern angelic beings. And that, God, that they would discern the work and the plans of the devil. And, God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we'll see you Thursday at 9 o'clock.